Well, some big problems with the health star rating to tell you about this morning. The scheme was introduced 3 years ago, ranks a food's health on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, but sugar-filled Milo has a 4.5-star rating. Nutri-Grain, which is a quarter sugar, has a, I didn't know that, has a 4-star rating. So experts want a complete overhaul of the system. Now, marketing professor at Auckland University, Dr. Bodo Lang, is with me. Doctor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Larry.
So how misleading do you believe this has become, Bodo?
Look, I think the intention of the system is excellent, and I think large parts of it work very well, but there are definitely some products that are, I think, labelled in a manner that probably is not consistent with what we would think is healthy food, and I think you've mentioned some of those already. So I think there's certainly the potential to be quite misleading with some of the products. The intention of the system overall is excellent, but I think we just need to tweak a little bit how the system is implemented.
How does it become misleading? Who actually awards the rating?
So there's a group that is basically been set up. So we're basically doing this very much together with Australia, and it is underpinned by science, and dietitians, consumers, and the industry have all been involved in the design of the system. But what a lot of people, including myself, are saying is that one of the key flaws we believe with the system is that sugar probably hasn't been given as much weighting as it would deserve, because there's a lot of research out there showing the adverse impact of sugar on health. And probably the biggest problem with the system is simply that you can compensate for bad ingredients by having good ingredients in there. And so what manufacturers can do is they can have a relatively high sugar content in a product and then add some fiber or some protein, which are good content.
Uh-huh.
And so therefore, then that pulls up the ranking of that product. But I don't think that's a very sane approach to this, because it's a bit like saying, look, I'll give you a box of cigarettes to smoke, and I'll also give you 3 green apples to eat. Overall, you're still worse off. You know, the apples don't compensate for the nicotine. So, you know, it's an extreme example, obviously, but I'm trying to get the point across that, you know, this compensatory rule, I think, is not a great idea, because there is clear research on how much sugar we should consume, and some of those products are very high in sugar and still get a very good positive rating.
Right, so the experts who are rating these products, they're just following a formula? They can't do anything about this?
I think there's certainly a list of ingredients that are seen as beneficial, and a list of ingredients that are seen as harmful. So sodium, or salt in other words, sugar and saturated fat are harmful, and protein and dietary fiber are seen as beneficial. And so you can compensate for these things. And I think, you know, what would be a good approach is to look at the compensatory nature of the rules. In other words, if there's too much of the bad stuff in it, it doesn't matter how much of the good stuff is in it. There's still too much of the bad in it.
Do you believe that producers are doing this deliberately? They know the tricks of the trade here.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we know from a lot of research that, you know, consumers are overwhelmed by the choice in supermarkets. There are thousands of products in supermarkets, and it's impossible for consumers to really make fully informed choices. Because if you were to turn around each product and really analyze the nutritional panel and the ingredients list, you would spend, you know, days in there. So they're using what's called a heuristic, a shortcut, and this Health Star rating is a great heuristic. It's a great shortcut, so it's got great potential. And supermarkets and manufacturers know this, and of course they then say, look, these are the rules, and what we'll do is we'll play to the rules, which is only fair, right? And so they say, okay, we'll keep the sugar at a level that makes it palatable and nice to taste, but then we're also including something else, a positive beneficial ingredient, to up the Health Star rating. But I don't think that's a great outcome for consumers.
As a marketing expert, how powerful do you believe this Health Star rating is?
Oh, I think it's very powerful. I think, you know, research from Consumer Magazine has shown that I think it was about 60% or 2/3 of New Zealand consumers are aware of it and use it. And those who do use it, a lot of them think it's a helpful tool. And I think it's, you know, we know from a lot of research in marketing that consumers are overwhelmed by choice. And so they are really bound to use shortcuts. And, you know, a health star rating by an independent agency is a fantastic shortcut to use. And really what we're saying is let's just change the rules a little bit and maybe do away with the compensatory nature of the rules.
Right. So consumers just see the 5, 4.5 star, whatever, and they just grab the box. They don't look at the details on the back. Yeah,
that's absolutely right. And, you know, if you, you know, the American Heart Association has very clear guidelines on what they believe is a healthy intake of sugar. So for women, it's 6 teaspoons and 1 teaspoon is 4 grams. So that's, in other words, 24 grams. For men, it's 9 teaspoons, that's 36 grams. If you look at some of your favorite products at home, it could be a good little challenge for your listeners. Pull some of your favorite products out of the cupboard and out of the fridge and see whether there's 24 grams or 36 grams in there. And that is your daily limit for all food and all drink. So, you know, I think we really need to work on that.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you, Bodo. That is Dr. Bodo Lang, Marketing Professor at the University of Auckland. Actually, Glenn, on that, do you know there's no sugar in beer? I didn't know this until a while ago.
That's great news.
It was fantastic news. No sugar in beer.
So there are ones, that claim that they have less carbs.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know about
What's
that.
What's the difference between carbs and sugar again?
Well, I've got no idea, but I just know that there's no sugar in beer, okay? Might start with it, but it all gets fermented down. There's no sugar, which is,
So it's basically...
I don't buy into the carb thing. I think it's only about 90 carbs in a bottle of beer anyway, isn't there?
So it's basically a health drink, is what you're saying.
I think it's a health drink. Yes, that's the conclusion.
Can we get some beers in here, please?
All right.